Now, that was a good Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Didn't they do it?
I think they did. Yeah. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Dennis Ryan joins us right now. I always say ad guru, and I hope that you take that as a compliment, Dennis. Do you?
Yes, I do.
Ad guru
very counts. Thank you.
Creative consultant, founder of many things. He's on the Twitter, if people want to get you on the Twitter.
Sporadically, I am.
All right, here's a quick question before we go into yesterday's ads. It used to be that they would debut the night of the Super Bowl, and that was very exciting, but now you can see them a week in advance, most if not all of them. Why the change-up? What happened there?
It's just budget. You know, when you're spending over $5 million for 30 seconds, that's an awfully big thing. And if you have anything themed about football,
yeah,
season's over at
yeah.
the end of that game. So they have to amortize. They have to break it down, and particularly if they're bringing in celebrities. And I think I saw over two dozen versions of the NFL spot.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little, here's a lift, here's a lift, here's a lift. Do you recognize these people? Do you recognize him?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a way to build intrigue and interest, and frankly, amortize their cost.
Is it working?
Oh, it definitely
works. Does work.
It definitely works, yeah.
How much does an ad go for? Like, do they base it by the 60 seconds or 30 seconds?
It's 30 seconds, and what's interesting is they say $5.3 million. So if you want to do a Wendy Snyder, you know, 30, that's what it would cost you. Now, for Anheuser-Busch, who buys multiple spots during the game, they do give them a discount.
A discount.
Sure.
And Coca-Cola, something new this year, advertisement right before kickoff, not during the game, correct?
Yes.
And smart move.
I think that's a brilliant move. It really is. I mean, Pepsi almost, it might officially block them out of the broadcast, but everything's about anticipation with the Super Bowl. Once it's actually there, you're like, oh yeah, two teams.
Yeah.
Okay. It was
right.
Incredibly uneventful game, so mm-hmm. it was, you know, but the buildup for it is really where all the hype is. So I think that's always a really intelligent buy.
There was a company yesterday called Persil. They're a cleaning company. They had a 15-second spot, which was actually a pretty good spot, very James Bondian spot.
Right.
But 15 seconds, you rarely, if ever, see in the Super Bowl. How'd they pull that off?
That's a really good question. I was kind of surprised by that, too. And they've been running that campaign for a very long time. It's a European campaign, and you're exactly right. It's a James Bond takeoff. But a 15, is that $3 million? Because it's not exactly half. They're going to pay still a premium. So I was surprised to see that buy, because with this being such a destination kind of platform for advertisers, to cheapen it down to 15 seems like you could be opening up the floodgates for just a whole bunch of lesser quality things.
What was the biggest overlying theme that you saw a lot of yesterday? Was there something that really jumped out?
I saw three things. I saw classic Super Bowl ads, like, you know, certainly the Alexa breakdown and the Mercedes-Benz voice activated thing, and Audi with the kind of their throwback to Gladiator. And then there were the emotionally resonant ads. You know, there was, I mean, that Verizon about the first responders.
That was awesome.
Well, because it was so authentic. You could tell the guy was choked up.
Yes.
But it shocked me that it was for Verizon. Like, as I was watching it, I'm like, oh my God, this is so touching. And I'm starting to think, what's this for? Is it to celebrate first responders? And I was kind of shocked when the Verizon logo kicked in.
Well, if you look, there is a super underneath it. It talks about they have done specific things to their network for first responder clarity.
Okay.
So, and they've been actually peddling that message for a while. So it was a little more legitimate a reach than some others. I thought Microsoft's adaptive gaming thing was great.
That was really good.
When that father choked up, I was right there with him. I thought that was great.
That
and
was
then,
good.
You know, the Google Translate, the idea that they've got all that data that says the three most researched translate phrases are thank you, how are you,
and I love you.
Yeah. I mean, that gives
very
you some
nice
faith back in humanity.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a thing.
You
and
guys
then
are so sensitive. I love it. I'm
just going to quietly weep over it.
I love it.
But then the third one was kind of like, okay, let's make fun of creepy robots. And I thought that, you know, there were a lot of robot and AI things.
Yes, there were.
And that was
robots that couldn't do what humans could do, and it upset the robots.
They're just not a real boy.
Yeah.
It was, I thought that was funny.
Dennis, you've been saying for years that what Madison Avenue needs to do is jump on Andy Warhol. And we always laugh at you, but last night they did.
I liked that.
It was very strange.
What's really strange is, so 45 seconds of, it's from a 1982 art film.
Mm-hmm.
And, what's interesting is at the time he said, and I thought this was actually an interesting artistic point of view, the basically, I think the hamburger, the Big Mac, that or the Whopper, that a billionaire eats and that a peasant eats is the exact same taste. And that was his kind of his point about the great, you know, kind of democratizing effect of mass products. But, you know, you don't get that out of the spot. It was just like, wow, this is a really long road to a very small house.
And he only puts ketchup on his Whopper. I
well,
know he had the ketchup.
Well, then he takes the bun off.
Ketchup.
What was that all about? It's like, well, but Andy, you know.
I liked that, though.
So is Burger King's message in there, or actually the better way to phrase this is, what exactly is their message? Because what I got out of it is, you can eat it whatever way you choose. If you enjoy a Burger King, you're going to enjoy it. Is that kind of the message?
That's the message we all walk away with. What it really did is, I mean, to Wendy's point, it stopped time, and you watched this famous guy, oddly, eat, you know, a your Whopper.
Yeah.
And you're watching him eat this Whopper and waiting for something to happen. Nothing does. And then you get a hashtag because, you know, that's required by the FCC now. You must put a hashtag at the end of a spot. And it just made you pay attention.
Yeah.
You know, it just...
Was the hashtag Eat Andy's Way or something like that?
Something like similar. That, which was vaguely creepy, but yeah.
How many households in America or around the world had to explain to young children who that man was?
You know what? That's exactly it. But you know what? That's not who we're... It's not a kids' forum.
Yeah.
It really is the classic mass merchandising, mass kind
He's
of
still an interesting dude. So
always,
whether or not you
always.
Knew who he was, I'm sure kids were like, who's this guy?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, and it was oddly compelling. Because it was just an absolute zig when everyone else is zagging.
Only one ad made me laugh out loud, and that was the Jason Bateman ad. That was the one that made me laugh out loud.
You know what? The best thing is, that's the Jason Bateman ad. Something about Hyundai Assurance. Yeah,
right.
Whatever. The Jason Bateman ad, which because it's Jason Bateman, just his smacks the whole way through until he finally said, Hyundai going up. I didn't buy that at all, which was terrible because he's so good at smarm and dismissal.
Right.
So, yeah, that was funny. He's tremendous.
So, for people who did not see that ad, what they were selling was, it was essentially they were selling Hyundai, but they were also selling things that are not going well and how Hyundai is, as you said, going up.
Exactly. I mean, because the car buying experience is misery for all of us.
Yeah.
And but the list of the litany of things that are worse than car buying was actually really wonderful, I thought.
That was
and apparently
funny.
It really irritated the vegan community. So
sure.
There you go.
And the Budweiser ads irritated the corn-growing community.
Yeah.
I could see where that would be. I was thinking of Orion Samuelson because, you know, corn syrup is keeping farmers alive.
Uh-huh.
It was interesting to me that Miller Lite has it and Coors Light has it. They also have the taste, in my opinion. I'm not a Bud Light lover.
Yep.
But that was very effective, I thought.
It's really interesting. The corn syrup argument, because high fructose corn syrup is such a, oh my God, it's poison.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much noise around it. But what was odd was corn syrup is essentially a sugar, and a sugar is what turns to alcohol. So if you add sugar in the brewing process, you shorten the brewing process. If you add it, it's not going to taste like corn syrup. If it does, it has a modest taste influence. But you're talking Coors Light, Bud Light, Miller Light. I don't think anyone's sitting there shaving the taste that closely. But it's just a... basically hustle along the process. And what was interesting is now Bud Light has, or Budweiser and Anheuser-Busch has irritated the corn growers. I'm sure ADM and Cargill are not big fans. And I just saw a tweet of mine, a friend of mine who works at Miller Advertising. It's like, well, we're going to the mattresses because they're just picking a fight. And
really?
It was very odd. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They did. They took some shots at their competitors, but...
And you're the number one beer by a decent margin.
Do you need to take those shots?
They are? Kind of that surprises me.
Yeah.
Yep. And it took them a long time to pass Miller Lite. It took them almost 11 years because Miller Lite got there first the most, but they've been ahead of them for almost a couple decades.
So normally, Dennis, the person or the group that would take that shot is whoever's in second, third, or fourth place,
absolutely.
Not whoever's in first place.
The challenger brand.
The challenger brand.
Exactly.
Yeah. Dennis Ryan is here. We're talking about yesterday's Super Bowl ads. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN. Dennis Ryan is here, and we're talking about the ads from last night's Super Bowl. Dennis, another theme, and maybe you were going to mention this one eventually, but I noticed this, and they've done this other years. There's ads where you think you're watching a movie, Sometimes they'll even tell you that Ridley Scott has directed this. Oh, I can't wait to see this movie. And then it turns out to just be an ad, not a movie at all.
Well, the Ridley Scott one for Turkish Airlines, which was mystifying in 30 and only slightly less mystifying, it's 6 minutes long online.
Oh, was, really?
Yeah, I sat through it. That's 6 minutes of my life I'm not getting back. It's the BMW Films thing. You know, and Ridley Scott makes amazing movies and things. It ended up being kind of this travelogue through Turkey and, you know, some mystery. But it just wasn't quite. I think I dove off at around 4.5 minutes.
That's too long.
That's way too long.
It was.
What really struck out? What did you see that you just went, oh, they just wasted a lot of money?
Boy, you know what? Personally, and again, just because of the money involved, I was really disappointed in Stella Artois. I thought, you know, you got Sarah Jessica Parker, and there was a great idea there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? She's not drinking Cosmopolitans. The dude isn't drinking White Russians. The most interesting man in the world isn't drinking Dos Equis.
God, that took a minute.
I know. I'm like, okay, Dos Equis. You know, that's an interesting idea. But boy, at the end, some brand manager was making sure that everyone got the idea. So Sarah Jessica Parker says, you know, that whole, she makes the drinky sign. He says, excuse me, good choice. Mm-hmm. And then Jeff Bridges, God, I love that guy. And he when he said, the dude abides, it's like he was embarrassed to say it. And I was embarrassed for him. It's just, it was a big idea, and it was just made dumb by execution,
right,
which kind of broke my heart a bit.
How much time legally do they have to let pass? Like, if you're the Dos Equis guy, how much time do they have to let pass before you can allow him to be in another commercial for another product?
As soon as his contract lapses.
That's it.
And what's interesting is, and we saw that with the Can You Hear Me Now? Now Sprint
Paul,
guy.
That guy.
Yeah, Paul. And he was, again, surrounded by robots.
Right.
Who looked like they had left. Remember those NFL promos he used to have? That's who it looks like. He's sitting on the couch with them. It's like they're out of work now. I don't know. But, And that's a dangerous thing. You know, it really is a dangerous thing. I think the other thing is, whoever that man is, the most interesting man in the world, he left not on the best terms.
Oh,
he
was
really happy about how he left. So I'm sure
they replaced him with a younger guy, right?
Didn't they? Yeah.
I was kind of shocked to see Charlie Sheen in a commercial. What, really? Is he popular still? Why did you go?
That whole commercial to
the
me
planters,
was just
correct?
A lack of a narrative structure. There was no reason. Hey, the peanut mobile is driving real fast. First, there's a peanut mobile. Second, Mr. Peanut's driving it. And why? No idea. And there's Charlie Sheen. And it's
his line was, and they think I'm nuts.
Oh, see that?
Right?
See,
so that was funny. But he doesn't. Charlie Sheen was well compensated for his work on 2.5 Men. So what kind of money do they even have to offer him to show up for a day's work?
Now he's at a cultural inflection point.
Yeah.
He's in the Super Bowl, the biggest game of the year.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that ad, to me, was another one that had a bigger budget than idea. There really was no idea that I could tell, and it didn't really have a beginning, middle, or end. It was just kind of it was like passing a car wreck on the highway.
Right. One of the more anticipated ads was the Steve Carell ad for Pepsi with Cardi B. Did that live up to the hype or not?
My problem with that is you're sitting there going, is Pepsi okay?
Yeah.
You pretty much just diminished your brand right off the bat because you made everyone think of Coke. You know, I love Steve Carell.
I do too.
I think he is magnificent. You know, I just thought the foundational idea of that execution was kind of not good for Pepsi. So,
right.
Yeah, that kind of pulled me out of that
The sidebar of that about Steve saying that he needs a catchphrase because Cardi B has a catchphrase could have easily been capped with somebody saying that's what she said or something. There would have been a way to fix that really easily.
Yeah.
Something quickly.
You know?
Something, yeah. And the best thing about Steve is he's so in. He's all in. He really worked at it. I thought he was terrific. Mm-hmm. I just wish he had better material.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it enough to just put a star or two together? There was one early on that had J.B. Smoove and Ken Jeong together. So is that enough to just throw a couple stars together and just say, let them go, see what they've got?
There was actually an idea to the Hyundai ad, and yet we all talk about it as the Jason Bateman ad, you know, because at a certain point, especially if you invest in the right one, they kind of can almost overshadow the idea. So you really, if you've got a strong idea, augmenting it with stars is tremendous. If you got an idea and you try to fix it with stars, it's never going to work.
Yeah.
And I think a couple times it didn't last night.
So walk us through this part. When they have a star in mind, let's go back to the Charlie Sheen one. How do they write it with several different versions, hoping that it'll be Charlie Sheen? But if it's not, they've got a plan B and a plan C, or what do they do there?
Yeah, With something like that, which is simply an incidental appearance, you know, you could put in anyone who's got kind of a wild persona, that would work just fine. So yeah, they pretty much just go right down the list. But on something like Bumble, that new dating app for women with Serena Williams, and I thought that was a terrific spot, although I have to admit, I didn't know Bumble was a female dating app, so I had to watch it twice. Yeah, I know. But the message was great, and now it makes sense why the tennis court was such an odd color. But again, she was the ad. Without her, that ad, you really can't do it with anyone else. I mean, she was the perfect spokesperson, and her message was so part of her brand and what Bumble wants to be.
There was another ad with Carly Kloss where she was selling a website, and I thought the same thing. If you don't get somebody who's really stunning, she's a model.
Oh.
Yeah. And she's been working with Wix for a while. But
yeah.
But again, that ad, there's another kind of ad that happens on the Super Bowl where it's that is a very hardworking, functional, solid ad.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel Super Bowl-y. Like that Luke Wilson close talker one.
Yeah.
That was well done. It was a good joke in it and everything else. It just didn't feel big enough. But as far as an ad, it was a tremendous
ad.
Yeah,
it was good.
Mm-hmm.
Really quickly, are we still impressed by Clydesdale horses? Does that still get anybody's heart?
It's just tradition now. You know what?
I think it is, but they're like the Rockettes of animals. Every time you see them, you're like, I better applaud. It's Clydesdales.
I'm telling you, on all the different film shoots I've ever been on for commercials, the only one where people got hushed voices when they were near it wasn't Michael Jordan. It wasn't Jason. It were the Clydesdales.
Really?
When the Clydesdales show up, it's reverence. It's weird. These are these magnificent, powerful animals, and the tech is so perfect.
Yeah.
They put so much care into how they groom these animals, how they take care of them. It's beautiful, and they're magnificent. So, you know, if you've got them and you've got a camera that keeps them in focus, you're already halfway to a win.
Yeah, I guess so. So it does still impress people.
It really does.
Everyone but you. You keep watching Adam Levine. We'll watch the Clydesdales.
I want it to be different animals every year. I want there to be monkeys one year.
Well, that's true.
I want there to be badgers one year.
That's true.
Mix it up a little. Mm-hmm. Let everybody have some work. So good to see you. We have to do this more often than just the Super Bowl.
I love
you're up
it
for
too.
That?
All right. That would be fantastic.
Because somebody has to explain to me why Matthew McConaughey keeps getting invited to parties and they spy on him while he plays pool, because I don't understand.
Does anyone hold their jaw more uniquely than
no.
It's like he's always deep in thought and kind of dislocated at the same time. It's very odd.
It's amazing. It's Dennis odd. Ryan, everybody. Where can people find you, Dennis, if they want to know more?
You know what? I'm around town. I'm easy to find.
Stop
you can
Dennis
find
in the
blog.
Street.
Exactly. Just to
don't
get,
be afraid.
Let's have a howdy shake and we'll go get a cup of coffee.
Thanks, that'd Dennis.
Thank you so much.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here, WGN.